Welcome to show number 930, the 6th day of March. I'm Todd Cochran, your host. Strap in. Here it comes. This is the Geek News Central podcast, bringing the latest tech and science news, coming to you live from beautiful Honolulu, Hawaii, sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com. Save today at GeekNewsCentral.com/GoDaddy. Fans, strap yourself in for a great show. Geek News Central, the longest-running tech podcast, is ready. It's showtime. Aloha and welcome to Geek News Central. I tell you, you can tell I haven't been back in the studio in a week and a half or so because I kept hitting the play button and I saw the thing swip across the screen for the intro to start, and it was like it was stuck on a still, not on sound. So. Oh, man. Hey, everyone. Welcome to the show. And if you're checking me out for the very first time, boy, you picked a great show. But for those of you who've been around for a while, hey, it's just standard fare for getting back in the saddle here. But I want to give a warm welcome to all of the Ohana, all of the longtime listeners and viewers of the show. Thanks for being here. Of course, thanks for staying subscribed. It's great to be back in Honolulu. It's warm, 80, 85 degrees. Trade winds kind of messing around. A little bit of humidity, but absolutely gorgeous. And I was standing outside just on the patio this afternoon and just kind of taking it all in. And it's just perfect Hawaii weather. It really, really is. But I know many of you are still dealing with snow, and I apologize. I got to experience a little bit of that here just a little bit last week. We'll talk about that here in a minute. But for those of you brand new to the show, we want to make sure that you take some time and visit geeknewscentral.com. This is where really all the magic happens. We do an incredible amount of work on the website, lots of content to be observed. And really, we have a great set of writers and a lot of content that's going to start coming up on the website again. Kind of a slow month last month, and part of it was my fault. I don't want to go into too many of the details, but I throttled the writers back a little bit on the number of posts. We're just trying to make sure we stayed in budget with everything, but kind of cut them loose today, and there's got some videos that are going to be going up as well. Just got to do that when you got to do it. And I kind of explained to them in an email what was going on. And but we should be back on track here at GNC. So get over to the website, check out all the great content. Of course, we want you to subscribe to the show. Real easy to do by hooking up with a newsletter or just basically subscribing via iTunes or your favorite podcatcher or Stitcher or wherever you may be, you can catch the show. Had the folks reach out to me from iHeartRadio today asking if I wanted to have Geek News Central on that app. And I am kind of mixed emotions at this point because they're not providing any real stats pingback like Stitcher does. So a lot of the stuff we have to do has to be measured. And so encouraging them, don't know if it's going to do any good, but I'll let you know if that happens here in the coming days. So, of course, you can reach me on Twitter, at Geek News. And, of course, you can email me here at the show real easily at geeknews@gmail.com. geeknews@gmail.com is the email address. At geeknews is the Twitter address. So reach out to me in either one of those places. Of course, so you can follow me on Google Plus or on Facebook. That data will be up on the webpage at geeknewscentral.com within the show notes. Again, this is show 930 in our march to 1,000. So, of course, you can catch the show on the Tech Podcast channel on the Roku, Boxy, Samsung Smart TV, Google TV, Chromecast. Kick back and watch on your Lazy Boy. And definitely load that channel up on your Roku. That's the best thing to do. It gets you connected with all the great shows in the network. So we'll hope that you'll do that. I'm still kind of, you know, I really got kind of adapted real quick. When I went to the East Coast, it was like just within about a day, I was kind of on schedule. And coming back to Hawaii, it's been like 8:30, 9 o'clock, my body's like saying, go to bed. And it's not a good thing because I get a lot of work done when things quiet down here. Been putting in some long hours since I got back, just trying to kind of get caught up. And I'm actually feeling like I'm getting ahead of things at this point. So we'll keep our fingers crossed that that continues to be the case. because it was quite the dog paddle to stay ahead of everything through the month of February. Actually, from about November of last year through end of February, but I'm just now starting to breathe just a little bit, which is good. So let's talk just about a little bit about what happened. Of course, a week ago Sunday, I flew out to Washington, D.C., hit the ground running, was going to meet up with a few folks on Thursday before the show, but the gridlock just killed me. I mean, I spent like three and a half hours in the car on Thursday running around D.C. Metro, Baltimore. It was not good. I got back to the hotel room, and I had moved hotels the night before to get closer to Dulles. And the hotel I was in was a Hampton Inn, but boy, I tell you, it was pretty bad. And now I know why the rates were as low as they were as compared to other hotels in the area. They had construction across the street. Things were just crazy. And by the time I got in Thursday night, I just face planted. So that was the reason for no show on Thursday. My apologies, but better to do a show awake than asleep. And I couldn't do one Thursday. But Friday ran around, had some more business to do, but flew out to Chicago and met up with my team, Raw Voice. We basically hold ourselves up in a, if you're following Twitter and Facebook, you got to see the pictures. We are in a suite. Basically, off Delaware Avenue, right in downtown Chicago, up on the 29th floor, beautiful, nice suite, nice working area. And we basically locked ourselves in. We went out to dinner a couple of times and, had Chicago deep dish pizza one night, in the room. And then the rest of the time was just breakfast in the hotel and kind of like snack for lunch. But we, put in like an incredible amount of hours between, the time I got there on Friday, and then really me checking out Monday morning. Then getting back to Honolulu, just ran into all kinds of trouble. I didn't get back into here till 11:30 p.m. local. It was bad. I mean, we ended up having to do some weird mechanic stuff for gas. And but anyway, long story short, I told you it was going to be no show on that Monday night getting back. But it's just been all week catching up. So it's been crazy here, but we got a great show lined up for you tonight. Of course, this coming Saturday, we're going to have a great guest on the new media show. We're going to have Fox News anchor Clayton Morris on. He's going to be our guest Saturday for the new media show. He's also a podcaster. We're going to be talking about the broadcast/podcast mix. You know, the last show we had was had been hugely successful. I was talking with some on a radio basically, guy's been in radio for many, many years. So the new media show's really taken off from a number of the guest lineup standpoint. So I'll have him on Saturday morning. Now I guess you guys are changing clocks on Sunday. We don't do that here in Hawaii. So what really sucks is it just becomes all that much later. It'll be a 6 hours difference instead of five to the East Coast. So that means if I'm going to be doing Saturday morning, new media show, I'm going to have to get up at five versus six. But that is the way it goes. And you guys are supposed to be warming up. It's not warming up over there yet. But here we are in March, and there's just like still snow on the ground in many places. But it's pretty crazy. So I'm sure many of you are sick of the snow. I know I am from basically hearing it from my mom and everyone else. But I enjoyed it when I was out. Can't complain. Hey, tonight's show is sponsored in part by our good friends over at GoDaddy. Now, GoDaddy has, if you're watching right now, you need to pay attention because we're losing some codes tomorrow. They say they're going to expire tomorrow, the 7th. And let me check and see if any of them are still working at this point. And let me see here. We've got, I know the 50% off codes are going to work, but that big 32% code is going away. And let's see here. Can I do that? No. Didn't bring it up. Of course, every time I wrote, there we go. Let me go see if this code's still alive. And let me bring it up. Yeah, it's still alive right now. The 32% discount code is still good, but it's going to go away. And what's going to be replaced with it is a 15% code. Now, they say the 15% code is going to be able to be used a lot more locations. And the team over there actually sent me over some data. Let me see if I can pull that up to talk about some new products that are going to be introduced. So what they've got is there's basically a new product. It's called their GetFound product. The GetFound product, GetFound helps businesses organize most of their online information into one simple platform. And there's a great write-up on it, and I'll have the link up in the show notes to you tonight on exactly what this entire product line does. But it's really it's for business folks, and it basically gets you showcases your sites on Google, Facebook, Yelp, and basically you can use their scanner. Now, if I do this right now and I put in my business name, so let's put in Geek News Central right here in the box, a scanner, and we'll see if they give me a, this happens real time, and well, we'll see if this really works this fast. Because I hadn't tested this before, so is it going to do it? So, all right, I guess you got to put in some other stuff too. You got to put in an address as well, but It's basically part of it's an advertising platform, and they have different types of services, helps you be found, like on Yelp, in all the different locations. So it's really designed to help business people with their online system. And you tell them about your business. Basically, you appear on top sites in one click. They help you with getting found with SEO. And you get found by customers. So it's like Yelp, TripAdvisor, Foursquare, CitySearch, OpenTable, YP.com, and so forth. So this is a new package that they've made available, and basically 15% off on services over there if you're a business person and looking to get hooked up with that. And, of course, a lot of the new domain extensions are going on right now, GoDaddy as well, .guru, .photography, .estate. Lots of new codes. And so this 15% off code is only supposed to work on new domain extensions that are out of pre-registration. So I'll have a link on where you can find more information about all the new TLDs as well. But the .com price went up to $3.49 by using the code GEEK349. The 15% off code is... see if can I find it. Where did they stick it on this page? It's GO15OFF5 is the code. And so lots of stuff going on here. And 10% off the Get Found business. So I'll have some new banners up on the website tonight after the show. But a whole bunch of new products and services we're going to start talking a lot more about over at GoDaddy. But GoDaddy's been a great sponsor here for many, many years. And we want you to save a lot of money. Pay attention to the webpage, geeknesscentral.com /GoDaddy. That's where you're going to find all the information. We'll have all the codes for you to use and get hooked up on. Of course, it's right there, geeknesscentral.com/GoDaddy. It's a place to go with all the codes that they've made available for me. So definitely check that out. And I want to thank GoDaddy for being a sponsor here. And we'll get into more of the gritty details of some of these products. I'll have to just buy an account and play with it and see how it works and let you guys know as well. Okay, so let's go ahead and switch gears here. Get off the GoDaddy sponsorship bit and sponsorship bit. It almost sounds bad, doesn't it, when I say it like that? So let me go ahead and load up here. So again, this coming Saturday, we'll have Fox News anchor Clayton Morris on the new media show. So tune in at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 noon Eastern. Those of you that are insiders, we want to thank you. And if you want to become an insider and support the show, geeknesscentral.com/insider. Hey, I've basically had already kind of secured a deal to go to NAB. Had talked with the group, but was all ramped up to go. And a long-term consulting gig that I've been trying to sign as a contract for a while came through Monday morning. And so basically I will be traveling to my next consulting gig. I'm actually going up to the Seattle area. This right around the same time as NAB, but be making the trip up there and doing a week or two of consulting. So we'll not be going to NAB, at least at this time, unless some dates change. I'll keep you advised. But I was really kind of looking forward to NAB. But when someone comes with the checkbook, you got to make money when the sun shines. Okay, so let's go ahead and switch into the regular full lineup of tech news tonight. I've got a stack for you. Apologize about all the catch-up stuff tonight, but this kind of the way it is when I've been on the road here. It's glad to be back. I really am. And I'm glad you guys are here with me. So let's go ahead and switch out a couple of screens. And I'll bring up this with all my fancy show notes. And as I basically put up in my link on YouTube tonight, as we were getting ready to set up for the show, and I was looking for a title for the show, big news today really has been all about the discovery of the supposed man behind the Bitcoin cryptocurrency. And Satoshi Nakamoto has been found. He is kind of denying at this point that he's the guy behind Bitcoin. But man, this thing has turned into almost a media feeding frenzy. This guy's the typical mad scientist. He's got a very interesting background, worked for some defense contractors, it sounds like. Maybe even held, he doesn't say it, but it's being suggested that maybe he did some high-level stuff in defense. But, I've been around some of these super mad scientists before in years gone by. And some of these guys have got enormous, enormous brains. And oftentimes they're not even geeks. They are like so smart that it's scary how smart they are. And if you've ever run into, you know, some of these top scientists, top people in their fields, you know, they can be a little bit eccentric. And maybe that's a little bit of an understatement. They're scary, scary smart. And I remember I've told this story before. I was working on something and it had a problem for 6 or 7 days on an issue I'd been working on. And I knew this gentleman and super, you know, one of these big brains. He's a fellow at the place that he works. And, you know, he came by and I was showing him what I was working on. And he says, well, why didn't you do this here? And he just, you know, like he'd been looking at it for like 20 seconds. And I did what he said for me to do and it fixed the issue. And I was just astounded. And so basically he took some time with me and explained what was going on. And he was one of those guys that could break it down so that you would just really understand that it wasn't so far over your head where you're just kind of like shaking your head, but it really wasn't going in. This guy could really break it down and make it, make you understand it. And I always said, if you were able to be lucky enough to hang around these big brains, you know, you're essentially going to get a PhD just by the rub off. You know, I'm serious. You know, the stuff that they say, you know, you're like, you go back to your room or you go back to your hotel or you go back to your office and you kind of like, you ponder on it for a couple of days because it's big, you know, just an idea or a concept or, you know, and it's something that, you know, these guys spend so much time deep and down into the weeds and stuff that they really have a unique understanding, usually on a very tightly focused topic. So this gentleman is definitely on the eccentric side. And he graduated from California State Polytechnic University in Pomona with a degree in physics. So that's just, you know, right off the bat there. And but it appears that this is the guy, and at least this is where the thinking's happening. So his brothers made some interesting comments about him, you know, and, you know, he's one of these types of people did an interview with someone and called the, you know, the interview person an idiot when they, you know, and proved that they were an idiot. You know, so it's just, you know, he's just kind of a, you know, he's a very smart gentleman. So it seems, on the surface anyway. So there's a great article in Newsweek about this, but the bizarro thing starts this afternoon when all the reporters cut loose, and it started in Temple City, California, where this guy lives, And, you know, of course, the pictures of him, his hair's flying, and, you know, he's got the blue jeans on, a green shirt, and a brown, sports jacket. So, you know, and probably mismatched colored socks, I would imagine. That's kind of the guy I'm kind of dreaming of here. But he came out of his house, and he basically says, he's basically mobbed by the press there. And he says, I'm not involved in Bitcoin. And then he flips the topic. He says, wait a minute. I want my free lunch first. I'm going with this guy, Nakamura said, pointing at a reporter from the AP. He says, I'm not in Bitcoin. I don't know anything about it. Again, walking down the street with several cameras on his heels. So he and the AP reporter made their way to a nearby sushi restaurant with the media in tow before leaving and heading downtown to the Los Angeles Times. So heading downtown, Los Angeles Times reporter Joe Bell Bruno followed the pair and described the chase in a running stream of tweets. And eventually the pair dashed into the AP office in downtown LA, where reporters are still waiting for Nakamura to emerge. So something's coming. Some big story from the AP. You know, this guy's probably in there, you know, doing a data dump. And so this is, as we speak, is developing. Who knows? He maybe went into the AP building and walked through and walked out the back door. For all I know, you know, we don't know. But this is all over all over the news. And this so-called father of Bitcoin is in the middle of the press frenzy. So we'll see what happens with this. But I'm sure we're going to see more and more about this tomorrow, probably as this show goes online. But we'll keep you advised. And we will, this is going to be exciting. But I will say this, that, you know, the press are a bunch of vultures. They really, really are. And, you know, and you got to feel bad for this guy because, you know, according to everyone, they say that he's kind of, he wrote the core base. And then the Bitcoin Foundation basically has revised pretty much all the code. But Newsweek is estimating his wealth in Bitcoins at about $400 million. And he has not spent any of his or cashed in any of his Bitcoins. So maybe now that he's out there, maybe he will. But the whole Bitcoin space is a bit of a challenge at this point, for sure. Okay. Let's switch gears here. Let's talk about an article that's over on Gizmodo. Streaming device showdown, who wins the battle for your TV? And that really is, we've talked about this many, many times on the show, that HDMI 1 is the battlefront. When you turn your TV on, essentially what comes up on your screen by default is the battlefront. And if you want to stream stuff to your TV these days, you've got plenty of options, right? You've got the Roku. And, of course, they announced a price drop to their HDMI-ready streaming stick down to $50. And this is obviously to compete with Chromecast. You know, the biggest problem using with Chromecast when you're in a hotel room is if you have to authenticate the Wi-Fi, there's no way to do it. Someone needs to come up with an app that allow you to authenticate the Wi-Fi in your hotel room for your Chromecast, because we had a heck of a time doing it. But, you know, really, it boils down to Apple TV, Chromecast, the Roku boxes, the PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Netgear Neo TV, a WD Live TV, and there's a huge number of options here. But if you really think about it, you know, we were app number 26 or something like that in the Roku. Now there's about 1,000 apps on the Roku device. Chromecast, you don't have remote control. You got to use your tablet. And we were actually having a great time using our tablet in Chicago, because we had a big screen TV. And what we did was we're doing a lot of dev work, and I'll talk a little bit about that maybe a little later in the show if I remember. But we were looking at websites and doing changes and updates, and we were basically able to get a lot of work done because we were just looking at the big screen and talking about it, and we were using a Chromecast. So there's a big battle going on here, and, you know, I've got them all, and I watch them all. But I think Apple TV, if they come in with this and allow their device to be opened up to apps, it's going to change overnight. It'll be a land rush. And but I don't know if Apple TV is going to do that. That's yet to be seen. Time will tell. But this space is definitely heating up quite a bit, and we'll see where it leads. Hey, the case, the Aero case, there's a great write-up on TechDirt about the Aero case, and they're claiming the Aero case isn't about Aero, but about the future of cloud computing and innovation. It's this is kind of interesting, and I hadn't thought about this. And we've talked about Aero a lot, but let me just read a quote by a guy by the name of Matt Schurer, S-H-S-C-H-R-U-E-R-S, Matt Schurer's. And he says, Aero's position is that when Aero subscribers pay for access to an antenna and direct it to send them back in a unique copy of a particular broadcast, this is private. Different users access different antennas at different times, and each user receives a different copy of a work. Even if they're watching the same broadcast, Aero isn't rebroadcasting one work to thousands. It gives technology to thousands who at different times use that technology to access and possibly store different copies of works that they already lawfully entitled to receive. This is not unlike the Sony Betamax, which didn't copy television, but gave thousands of consumers the technology to make reproductions of television content that were already lawfully receiving. Now, broadcaster responded by saying that none of this matters. Aero is infringing. They contend so long as a given work is made available to multiple members of the public, even if Aero does it with a different unique copies and at different times, they're still infringing. Now, where this leads in the Supreme Court case, the problem with this rationale is that it applies with equal force to cloud storage like Dropbox, SkyDrive, iCloud, and Google Drive. If multiple people store their own unique, lawfully acquired copy of the latest hit single in the cloud and then play it to themselves over the internet, that too sounds like the broadcaster's version of a public performance. The anti-Aero rationale doesn't distinguish between Aero and the cloud. So I'm storing a lot of stuff in the cloud. A lot. And I play a lot of stuff back from the cloud. Matter of fact, this show to some people is delivered via the cloud. Now, I don't have DMCA wrapped around this or copyright. So you can see where this could lead here. And so this is going to be a big case when this hits the Supreme Court. And there's a lot to lose. And we all know, if we don't think that the copyright holders are going to take a victory here and then run with this and twist it and use it to their advantage, we all know that we're sadly mistaken, right? We know the copyright folks are just going to do everything they can to stop those of us from having our copies of our media stored digitally. They hate it. They don't want you to own a hard copy or soft copy of your content. They really, really don't. Don, I'm doing a live show. let me see if I can. He's calling me late. I'm live. All right. So anyway, that's kind of what's happening here with Aero. We'll see where this leads as time goes on. All right. This should make all of you sit up, and I want you all to really listen here. Okay, pay attention to this. Homeland Security has detained a U.S. citizen inside the United States. Okay. Homeland Security detained a U.S. citizen inside the United States, used intercepted emails to quiz her about her her activities in the bedroom. So check this out. This lady, And she's filed a lawsuit on the ACLU has filed a lawsuit on behalf of this lady, Christine Von Dehar, who is a senior lecturer at Indiana University, was detained at the airport. She was not entering or leaving the country. She was not even boarding a flight. She merely accompanied a friend to the airport so that he could retrieve some computer equipment that he had shipped separately a few days earlier. After detaining this lady, CBP officials, who clearly had access to the emails that her and her friend had sent back and forth, quizzed her about her adult activities and if she was planning on marrying the friend. Apparently, CBP appeared to be concerned. Now, the Customs and Border Patrol, that's who that was. Customs and Border Patrol, CBP, appeared to be concerned that the friend, a Greek national, was trying to stay in the country illegally. They've known each other for 40 years while studying abroad. This guy had a B1, B2 visa. That's a business / leisure visa to the United States, which actually lets him enter and leave the country for a period of 10 years. He was in the United States on business, but also visited her, and they'd been catching up online, but asked all kinds of strange questions that they only would have known if they had had access to their email. So this is crazy that they detained her at the airport. She wasn't even getting on a flight. They just went, and you know what happens is people do counter-to-counter shipping of stuff sometimes. So I'm sure that's what they were doing, going in and picking stuff up. But can you just imagine? You just arrive at the airport and Border Patrol detains you. You're an American citizen. They start asking you about your sex life. I'm serious. That's crazy. They would have had to read me my rights and arrested me. I would have refused to answer any questions. I just don't get it, you know? Really, really, I don't. But, you know, so what if he's going to marry her? If you do that, it's a major no-no, but you have to go through, pay a penalty. You know, it's not like that people don't come to the United States every day, fall in love with someone and get married and not have the proper fiance visa. And it happens, right? Anyway, really, when it typically happens, and the person that has come from the foreign country, they can't leave until you've went through the entire immigration process to get a green card. And sometimes that can take 2 or 3 years. You know, you have your life examined, but that's a choice you make if you marry someone in that circumstance and not go through the right channels. But at the same time, why would the Border Patrol, they weren't married, why would they detain them? So this is an interesting move. Interesting move. And it should make all of us go, just a little bit. Getty. You know, up to this point, I've not been a big fan of Getty. Getty has been pretty abusive, in my opinion, of going out and going after people that, even if they didn't know it, may have mistakenly used one of their images, have went after them for copyright infringement. Even so much as a little speck, they went after people in a big, big way. But Getty has completely jumped the shark. Now, Getty has made about 35 million, that's just a small number of them, 35 million of their images embeddable in order to start gathering data and better monetize the uses of its material. So what they've done is they've launched an embed tool that allows users to embed and share its image on websites, blogs, and social media in a similar way that YouTube videos can be embedded. The embed capability works on any HTML-based site, and images can be shared on social platforms, including Twitter and blog platform WordPress. So the embeds are available for free for non-commercial use, and will include photographer attribution as well as a link back to Getty's site where the images can be licensed for commercial use. Getty said in a news release, this will provide people with a simple and legal way to use content that respects creators' rights. So again, non-commercial use, that's a very sticky line there. So, you know, if my site has advertising in it, could it be considered commercial use if I use the embed? That is yet to be answered. I haven't got the full story on this. But Getty reserves a right for itself and third parties to collect data related to the use of MedViewer and embedded Getty images. So this is interesting here. Websites that, for instance, run Google Ads, here's the answer, or other advertising are allowed to start using the embed tool. This does mean, though, that those sites surrender the data gathered via the embeds for use by Getty. So in other words, they're going to use it for data collection. And so all they're doing is tracking the data. They say they're not going to be doing a bunch of evil stuff with the stuff that's collected. So it's a big move. And big. I mean, this is huge, because I think they figured out that they just couldn't fight the animal anymore, and they're making this move here. I think it's a smart one on their part. Hey, were you familiar with Coldcast TV? Coldcast TV is shutting down after losing millions on original content, and I think this is something that is very telling. Now, Coldcast.tv was a earlier pioneer of serialized original content. So this show, serialized video content. Production costs, not very high. I'm here in my studio, right? But check this out. This is the letter they sent to their producers and their users. Simply stated, the cost of operation continue to outpace advertising revenue. Moreover, costs associated with audience development in relation to industry CPM rates make it impossible to expand our audience without losing money, which we have successfully been able to do for all but one calendar quarter during our life cycle. So that's again, they were never able to generate annual profit in that business on serialized video content. Because I see this every day. I get pitches from media buyers all the time, and I'm starting to see this deterioration of advertising rates. The advertising rates have continued to get lower and lower and lower. And, you know, it's like they've got a lot to choose from. So they say, take it or leave it. And I've had to walk away from some deals recently just because the rate was too low. And probably that advertising went to someone else. But you almost have to look at it from a standpoint, is it going to generate enough revenue for me to, you know, take the hit on the CPM? And in some instances, it's not. It's not even worth running it based on what they're going to pay and everything that you have to go through and reporting and, you know, all the pain that goes along with having any type of a campaign. So I just find it very curious here that that they're saying something I kind of know already on the video side. Now, audio is different case. The delivery of audio is pretty inexpensive, and we can do okay with audio on a monetary standpoint. The video is typically always a bit of a loss leader in the space, because it's just the CPMs aren't high enough. All right, you can now mirror your Android screen on Chromecast if you have a Nexus 5. So there's some apps out there. So if you have the right smartphone, specifically a Chrome browser. Of course, we were doing this last week. Chromecast, but only if you have a Nexus 5. Google's phone is the sole device with the hardware video decoder needed for this mirroring technique. You also have to get root-level access operating system with the current released. So anyway, this is a kind of a do-it-yourself thing. We're doing it with a computer, so must be that's not a surprise. Hey, Spotify just bought the company that powers most online radio. They bought Echonest. It's better known as the company that powers the vast majority of internet radio. That includes competing services like Twitter, music, radio, and more. But today's news, according to the press release, doesn't necessarily mean that those services will lose support from Echo's API. The Echonest API is going to remain free and open to support its robust developer ecosystem. So this is a big news here that Spotify is trying to shore up its position here in the United States. There's also a prediction out there that 7 trillion devices will need high-speed access by 2020. At a recent seminar organized by the Europe Network Southwest, EENSW, and the UK's Technology Strategy Board, There's basically predicting by 2020, 7 trillion devices would be connected to the global mobile network. And if the current 3G, 4G technology will simply not be able to keep up. So this is pretty, that's a big number, 7 trillion devices by 2020. Do you think it'll be that many? Probably. If you look at all the stuff that's getting embedded mobile in it, it's huge. Hey, DirecTV's next in line to get internet TV rights from Disney. Looks like Dish is doing a deal that may open the floodgates for news about similar arrangements that Reuters is reporting that DirecTV is negotiating with Disney about also launching an internet-based TV service with programming from ABC, ESPN. DirecTV's retransmission agreement with Disney is up soon, so the timing couldn't be better. So DirecTV may be coming digitally to a internet by you. Facebook is redesigning its news feed again. So if you've been seeing more pictures in your news feed, don't be surprised. Boy, they keep tweaking this thing. It's already bad enough, but I don't know. We'll have to see. Hey, there is a cool... I've been seeing more of these. Let me show you guys this. This is over on BBC. It's called Space Race. And this was done by, again, by the BBC. So it's one of these interactive web pages. And what you do, and those of you that are not watching, those of you that are listening, let me show you this. Now, what you've got on this page is you've got basically a rocket that's upside down. Basically, Earth is underneath you, and you are facing the up, and you're going to go into space. So what this does, as you start moving the page, is it basically takes you higher and higher. For example, right now I'm at 11 kilometers, talking about commercial aircraft cruising height. And then I go a little further, talks about the Bell X-1, talks about weather balloons, talk about the highest skydive, highest living organism, then talking about going to the stratosphere. So this is a cool little thing from a science standpoint. Talks about now an area where meteorites burn out at 65 kilometers. And then we basically get into areas of like the lowest altitude of the Aurora Borealis. And it's all done graphically here. Then we move into the thermosphere. And as we continue to move out, you know, we're at the 100 kilometer mark. We're at 120 kilometers. We talk about, and it just goes on and on here. First man in space went to 330 kilometers. International Space Station at 420 kilometers. Earth's gravity is 86% as strong at 500 kilometers. Get into an area here where it talk about the Hubble's telescope at 570 kilometers. Then we get into the exosphere, and it kind of really ramps up at this point. And they're talking about, they're showing on the page here, 1 pixel equals 100 meters. So concentrated space debris at 900 kilometers. Talk about beginning of the inner Van Allen. So this thing is just, I mean, cool. And if you keep, you know, basically going down and down and down, it basically then takes you into, you know, it's just trying to show you the different layers of space and takes you out to the moon and beyond, you know. So here's the, you know, the moon in the picture at 384,000 kilometers. This page is a great page. I'm going to tell you, this is probably something that you have a lot of fun with your kids with. And feel free to, you know, play around with this for a while, because it just explores our galaxy and takes you out to the asteroid belt, takes you out to the, you know, basically where the sun is. I mean, it's just really, really cool here. And lots of stuff. Venus, 38,200,000 kilometers. So, you know, it tells you the positions of the, all the, you know, so it's really, this is awesome. And I know that many of you that are listening don't understand what the heck I'm talking about. But if you see this, I think you're going to have a lot of fun with it, with your kids. And maybe you'll learn something yourself, and takes you to the outer solar system. So it just, you know, goes on and on and on. And it, actually they do it in space track terms. And they actually, as you scan out, you're going at warp speed. So anyway, this is a cool thing on the BBC. Link will be up in the show notes. It's called Space Race. A lot of fun. I basically wasted some time on playing with this before the show started tonight because I was like, oh, this is too cool. So anyway, link will be up in the show notes for you to check out. All right. It's basically you just scroll down and the page updates as you scroll down. All right. Let's talk about Verizon. There's some questions people are asking. Why does Verizon get away with charging customers the way they do? And there's been some studies done. RootMetrics issued its first ever national root score report on consumer experience and mobile carrier performance. And Verizon it wins almost every category. 89.7 as compared to AT&T 86.2, Sprint 68.2, T-Mobile 64.3 performance ranking. Goes into reliability index, Verizon at 89 all the way down to T-Mobile's 57. The only place that Verizon gets beat is in the speed index, where AT&T beats them by 2 decimal points. So it just goes and looks at all the different services available that basically we're doing on our mobile devices, and it ranks it based upon all the different locations across the United States where there's carriers and access. They did 4.6 million test samples to come up with this. And Verizon definitely has the most robust network and probably the reason why they're able to charge what they do. Hey, if you're on Charter customers can finally access Showtime on your mobile devices. So that's good news. So again, Charter subscribers, you've been waiting since 2011 to access Showtime. And, they give me a free year of Showtime. And I don't even really watch too much over there. What's good to watch on Showtime? Anybody got any suggestions? All right, Windows 8.1 Update 1 download leaked early by Microsoft. Microsoft's finalizing his upcoming 8.1 update and appears to be sharing a little early. And we're expected to get the official update in April. But if you want to get access early, it's available online. You know, these stories, sometimes you see a headline and it just, you know, you just like figures. That's what you want to say, right? You know, in the UK, they've had this guy or this group that has been putting together a porn filter. Well, you know, the UK spent years trying to impose its version of morality upon the internet, demanding that ISPs impose mandatory opt-out porn filters, even if those filters have really been easily bypassed. Well, these folks definitely live in a glass house, and they should not be out there throwing jabs at people, because the UK porn filter architect has been arrested on child porn charges. So, this is crazy. You know, the folks are out there saying, hey, we need to block this stuff. You know, they're the abuse, at least in this case, is the abuser. And this gentleman's been arrested. Who knows what he was looking at or how much he had, or if he was storing on his PC or was just browsing, but I just don't get it. You know, I really don't. But another well-deserved person locked up behind bars exploiting children is just incredibly disgusting. And those people need to be put away for a long, long, long time. All right, totally switching gears here. Our $7 billion emergency LTE network appears stuck. And there's quite a really bloody article talking about FirstNet. Of course, FirstNet was created because of the failed communications that happened during 9/11. And there's been a concentrated effort to build some kind of wireless national emergency communication network. And of course, in typical congressional fashion, this included several years of yelling, screaming, disagreement, and general craziness that goes on. But after more than a decade, the Middle Class Tax Relief and Job Creation Act of 2012 finally created the first responder network authority called FirstNet. And So apparently, the first people that were hired to FirstNet were getting like $300 an hour or something. This is pretty nuts. The contract staff hired late 2012 and 2013 were paid $300 an hour. The contract under which the staff were hired expired in October. Most existing 35 or so contracted staff, who are quite competent, by the way, were laid off. Three new contracts were established in October, but as of this writing, 4 months later, no technical contractors and only a handful of public relations contractors have been hired. How do you create a nationwide design and individual state-specific plans for a wireless network without technical staff? That's the question. So $7 billion project and only 25 people have been hired. Most of them focus on PR. Your taxpayers at work, folks, $300 an hour. How do I get signed up for one of those gigs? If you got one of those deals, please consider me. I'll gladly sign up for $300 an hour. That is some serious salary right there. The Hubble has witnessed a mysterious breakup of an asteroid, and scientists are scratching their head a little bit. I think what it is there's probably some aliens out there that are just basically mining the asteroids, and we're probably essentially just, you know, witnessing their activities out in the asteroid belt. But actually, in a more serious note, they think they've come up with an explanation of, oh, come on now, I don't want to do that page. Let me go over here and do this. Okay, there we go. So over a matter of about a month, maybe 2 months, they observed this asteroid breaking up, splitting apart, and spreading out. It wasn't an impact event, because during an impact event, it's just like a pool. A piece hits, and everything blows off in different directions. This is all kind of stayed around the same area, but scientists scratching their head a little bit. I contend it's probably aliens out there harvesting water, whatever they need to get recharged on their spacecraft. But anyway, they think it has something to do with the interaction of the sun, but they've never seen this before ever. So the scientists are pretty excited. We did have another asteroid that basically buzzed by us today at a whopping 61,600 kilometers, about half the size of that asteroid that skimmed in over Russia here earlier last year, a year and a half ago. So a couple of close calls recently. But I guess this happens on a regular basis. We're just hearing more about it because of the news. Yahoo's got a pretty cool picture of every single satellite orbiting Earth in a single image. Pretty cool image. Have that link up in the show notes. And you can actually see the plane of how they arrange the orbits. All pretty similar. And it makes up a pretty picture. What would make you abandon Earth for Mars forever? Well, there's a lot of discussion going on. Of course, the Mars One team has been, you know, basically working to come up with a team of astronauts that will go to the Red Planet. Of course, over 1,000 people are currently competing to be sent into space and never return. And so Mars One has produced its own set of would-be astronaut profiles called One Way Astronaut. And they got a pretty cool trailer here. This is a kind of an interesting video to watch. 11 minutes and 39 seconds. I'm going to stay right here. I'll let the young folks go. And, you know, it's the first few groups that go, it's going to end badly. We just all kind of know that. But someone's got to try and figure it out and see what works and what doesn't. And, you know, we're going to have, some bodies on Mars before it's all over. Because it's just what it's going to take to figure out how to make this, this interplanetary travel happen and make it successful. CBS is not happy with Dish. They want to make their ad skipping Hopper DVR even less useful if they want streaming video rights. So basically, Dish has been told by CBS, if you want streaming video rights, you're going to have to turn the Hopper off and make sure that people watch the ads. So why don't you just tell CBS to forget it? Now the networks are applying their pressure when it comes to rebroadcast contracts. And I think we'll see more of this as time goes on. If you live in Massachusetts, I'm sorry. For a few days here, perverts were able to do upskirt pictures legally. But the legislature there has approved a bill to ban upskirt pics. And I just can't believe that this was allowed to... the courts actually upheld that this was okay to do. It's pretty incredible that would be allowed. In Japan, it's notorious. It happens a lot. It's pretty disgusting. It really, really is in a big, big way. So, ladies, when you're on trains, if the trains are crowded, just be aware of your surroundings, please. Or any places some pervert can stick a phone and a snap a pic. I don't get it. I really don't. But just to think that this would be, the court would uphold that this was okay to do is beyond me. NewsPeg, it's a new site, puts journalistic spin on Pinterest-style bookmarking. And so NewsPeg skips the fluff pieces and goes straight to hard-hitting headlines. And basically they're trying to make it easier for people to find the news. So I have to check this out myself. But again, it's newspeg.com. Definitely add that to your checkout list. All right, last couple articles tonight. Judge rules commercial drones are legal, undoing a 6-year ban. Administrative judge in the National Transportation Safety Board has ruled that the commercial use of small drones is in fact legal, despite 6 years of FAA administration statements to the contrary. Judge Patrick Garotti dismissed a $10,000 fine leveled by the FAA against a Swiss drone operator who used a camera drone to film on the University of Virginia campus. At the time of the respondent's model aircraft operation, there was no enforceable FAA rule or FAR regulation. Boy, I tell you, if you wanted some good sleeping material, read the FARs. As part of my degree path, when I got my professional aeronautics degree, I become very familiar with FARs. Regulations. Woo, those are sleepers. But this ruling effectively invalidates the FAA 2007 ban. I'm sure there's going to be all kinds of discussion about this as time goes on here. So we'll see where this leads. I'm sure it'll be appealed. There's a cool article about a monster black hole from early interviews twisting space at half the speed of light. It's too complicated to even get into in this context, but if you want to read about a monster black hole twisting space at half the speed of light, wrap your brain around it. I have the link in the show notes for you tonight. And finally, you know, NASA and different types of places, there's all kinds of cool places to work. And, you know, NASA gets to play with some pretty cool toys. You know, anytime you can play with a rocket, you know, that just brings the kid out in you, right? And so over on sploid.gizmodo.com, they've got to talk about some models of the SLS Core Stage RS-25 engine, I guess 1/20th of scale or 1/200th of scale, and showing flow models of jet exhaust. You know, just the stuff these guys do, it's got to be really, really cool and a lot of fun. So, you know, if you've got a kid that's trying to figure out what they want to do in life, you know, these types of videos and get them interested in science and physics and rocketry, and who knows, they can be building the next rockets that take us into outer space. All right, that's going to wrap me up for just regular content tonight. I do have some show notes to go over, and I've gotten some stuff on Facebook too, and on Google Plus and on Twitter. Let's see if I can find the right stack here. Let me look at the date today. And dun, 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 dun. So that would have been the last show. So anything after this date here. Got an email from Robert. He said, "Hey, Todd, thanks for the Go 15 off 5 code. That one was a new one that was on your GoDaddy promo codes page. So he says, by the way, have you heard that web.com, parent company of Network Solutions, and register.com has bought snap names from KeyDrive? He says that probably means that the auctions for the domain names expiring from Network Solutions and Register.com will be moving back to Snap Names at some point in the near future. So thanks for your email on that, Robert. Got an email from Nicole. She says, hey, Todd, a group of scammers pretending to be Netflix tech support is persuading consumers download software that allows them to crawl through your computer and snap up anything of interest. When it's all over, they'll send you a bill and run away with any good data they can find. There's a good article over on Yahoo. So just be aware here that there's a lot of this going on, and we need to be very, very careful out there to make sure that we're not scammed upon. A bunch of people sent me this link as well via Facebook and Google Plus and on Twitter. So I got it from three or four of you. So I want to thank Jeff for sending it over. I think Tim did as well. But everyone that sent those, thanks. We appreciate it. Hey, as always, you can email me here at geeknews@gmail.com. Of course, the voicemail hotline has long been shut down, but there is a place on the website you can click and leave a message for the show. It's real easy to do right over on geeknewscentral.com. We'd like you to consider becoming an insider, supporting the show at 6.7 cents a day is $2 a month. And you can do that by going to geeknewscentral.com/insider. Hey, what I wanted to do here at the end, and this is largely for the people that are listening, watching the show tonight. I want to bring up some stuff we've done on the Blueberry site and just basically solicit some of your guys' feedback. So and if you're just listening, go over to blueberry.com, and I'll give you a second to get over there. And once you're over there, you click on the create box, and the create box is going to take you into basically our site that we've got set up for podcasters. We found some cool plugins, and I'm going to take you to the link where it talks about our podcast hosting business. We found this cool plugin that basically allows us to add a menu system. And this, for those of you that are watching, if you scroll a little bit down the page below the information stuff, you'll actually see five boxes. And it talks about our small, medium, large, extra large, enterprise, and basically just the basics of what the accounts offer. And then with an order now link. If any of you are looking to put something on your website, get in touch with me and I'll share with you what this plugin is. I put these little menus together in about 15 minutes. And once they're built, they can be combined on one page. And a page that we're just about ready to open up is called, it's basically create.blueberry.com/store. And it basically has all our products and services on one page. Our consulting, our stats, our hosting accounts. So this page here, once I had those menus built, this took me like, I'm not kidding you, like 3 minutes to put this page together. And I'm really excited. This plugin makes it real easy for someone that wants to sell just a few items on their website. And you can apply it across a variety of different pages. Place them wherever you want for the order information. So I'm really just pretty jazzed with how this works, and love to hear you guys' feedback on the changes we made on the website over there. So everyone, thanks for being here. And what's Spitball? He's saying the next show will be at a different time in our time zones. That switched to daylight savings time on Sunday. Yeah, Spitballs, it's going to be 6 hours to the East Coast instead of five. Lately, I've been starting a little bit early on the show. That's not going to be the case all the time. So, you know, it's going to be like 2 o'clock in the morning on the East Coast. So if you're still up, please join me. But I know many of you will not, largely because it's just going to be too late. But that's going to wrap things up here. And I want to thank all of you for being here for the show tonight. And thanks for basically, you know, staying subscribed. Tell your friends about Geek News Central. Our multi-site development plan is well underway. We've got the page like 90% design. Angelo's just got to cut it up, and then we got to implement it and get the different properties broke out. Gadget Professor, Robot Underpants, Chrome Show, all of those particular shows will have their own landing page on the site. We really have come up with some really slick ideas. I think you guys are going to love the new site design when we roll it out. I'm excited. Angela's got to do some widget design yet too, because we got to bring in the content, be able to make it so you can see it from the other, you know, basically we want you to, if you go over to Gadget Professor, we want you to be able to see that it's still the new Geek News Central content. You go over to Robot Underpants and vice versa, so that it's very clear that this is a, basically a network that works together. And I think you're going to be excited with the layout, and it breaks everybody into their own properties. I think it'll go a long way in cleaning up the website, with geeknewscentral.com still being the top level of the website, but with each site having their own independent, to a certain extent, independent designs. There's going to be some design flow that's going to go in between of them that are going to be pretty much the same. But we're going to take our first whack at this thing here very, very soon. And I'm looking forward to making the transition. It's going to be a lot of work to get it completely right and some remapping of RSS feeds and everything. But once we're done, I think it'll be the model for folks that are doing networks. And we're going to build some special plugins for multi-site as well. So it's going to be part of a bigger endeavor that we're doing. But this is going to be basically our test case using my site. So anyway, that's it, folks. Everyone take care. We want to thank you for being here. And we'll be back with you on Saturday for the new media show. And again, got a great guest coming in on Saturday. We've got Fox News anchor and podcaster Clayton Morris is going to be on the show. So we hope that you'll join me for that. And I'll be back with you Monday for a regular episode of Geek News Central. Everyone take care. We'll see you Monday or on Saturday if you feel like it. Till then, take care, everyone. Aloha.